Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Spirituality, psychic development, love and relationships, manifesting prosperity, and more. You now have access to the world's most renowned spiritual teachers, healers, psychics, and mediums as you join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hello, my name is Stephen Lewis, and you're listening to the Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. In a moment, Ian Doherty will be joining us to discuss the benefits of the trance state. But before we get started on that, I'm pleased to announce that next week's show is going to be dedicated exclusively to free readings for the duration, 8 to 10 p.m. So that's what's going on for next week's show. A bit of an announcement there. Now, please join me in welcoming my co-hosts. Maureen, how are you doing tonight?
Okay, that's 8 to 10 Eastern Standard Time. I'm in California time, people.
Uh-oh, that's right. Let's not forget our friends on the West Coast there.
That's right. That's 5 o'clock p.m. Okay, I'm fine, Steve. Looking forward to your show.
Thank you very much. Looking forward to it as well. It ought to be very enlightening for us. Well, yeah. Why don't you explain to us a little bit about what you do over there at Psychic Access?
Well, I'm an intuitive empath psychic consultant, and I feel that tarot is my main tool, and it's a symbolic record of human experience. I take my readings seriously, and I do what I do because I must, and there you have it.
Absolutely, and you're one of our best psychics, certainly.
Thank you.
Have a reputation for compassion and empathy, and we're glad to have you with us tonight. Thank you, Maureen.
Thank you, Stephen.
Well, Steve, how are you doing this evening?
I'm very well, thank you, Stephen. I've recovered, or nearly recovered, from my cold last week. I hosted the show with a dreadful cold.
I remember that, and I was about to say you sound a lot clearer tonight. A lot less nasal.
Thank you.
Well, we're all glad to hear that you've recovered from that. Why don't you share with us what you do at PsychicAccess.com?
Well, Stephen, I'm a psychic medium primarily. So as a child, I realized that I could see people in spirit and interact with them. And then when I got into my teenage years, my mediumship became more telepathic. In other words, I would interact with people in spirit in my mind's eye rather than externally, as we interact with each other externally. But I became fascinated by all forms of metaphysics. And, you know, metaphysics means beyond physics. So we're talking about what lies beyond our currently acknowledged understanding of science, or what's beyond the physical world. And I became particularly interested in hermeticism and hermetic astrology, as you did, hermetic tarot. And I absolutely love my work. I left the corporate world to pursue my passion, and you know, sometimes my bank account regrets it, but I never do.
Well, you know, your bank account won't be regretting it for long. You have your fingers in a lot of pies. You also have literary abilities, and soon you'll be blessing us with the fruits of your intellect. So one thing about tonight's show is that the guest is going to be talking about altered states of consciousness and the trance state as a way of getting beyond, as a way of getting meta, you know, beyond physics. So that ought to be interesting to hear tonight, eh?
Yes, looking forward to it.
Very good. Well, thank you for joining us tonight, Steve.
You're welcome.
All right, and next we have Carmen, also a very highly regarded psychic at PsychicAccess.com. How are you tonight?
Oh, I'm okay, thanks. How are you? Hey, this is an interesting, intriguing show title.
Yes, it is. I think the transcendentalism is what, you know, gets everybody. Everybody wants to transcend, and I can't say that I blame them.
Yes, I know. I would have been lured in with altered states, though.
Yeah, unfortunately, I thought of that, in, you know, belatedly, but, you know, they're synonymous. We're definitely going to get around to that. But why don't you share with our audience what you do for PsychicAccess.com?
Well, I think just I'm an empath, a telepath. That's what I've been practicing, or at least professing and working on for the last few years. And I'm a theorist, and I've been working on, like many of us, on writing for, I think, almost the last 8 or 9 years now. And I use the tarot as well. And I was inspired, actually, when I was living in Africa, I was shuttered off into a Methodist boarding school. And there I became most entranced by the idea of metaphysics, because we were put into a very organized form of religion. And then, encouraged by Siddhartha and spurred on by Beetlejuice, I embraced my intuitive abilities, but was overshadowed by the specter of Hollywood, thinking that I would have to see bright lights to know what I was doing. And lo, it turned out, here I am, working in on an odd job that I never thought I would get involved in, and I do enjoy it. Isn't it an interesting work that we have?
Yes, it is, and yeah. We're all enriched to have you on the team, Carmen. You bring a multicultural sensibility to the Psychic Access family, and all of our clients are bettered for it. So we appreciate you joining us tonight as well.
Lovely, thank you.
And to everyone in the chat room, thank you for coming out tonight. A big welcome to you guys. Well, I'm excited about tonight's guest. His name is Ian Doherty from the UK. He's a medium. He's an artist, which is one of the facets of his personality, which interests me as well. He uses his psychic ability, his mediumship, to create art. And another, as if that weren't enough, Mr. Doherty also is a paranormal investigator, having archived thousands of investigations and hauntings, and he's highly regarded for his careful probings of these hauntings and other supernatural phenomena. I encourage you to visit Ian Doherty at www.ian-doherty.co.uk. And without further ado, hello Ian, a warm welcome. How are you?
Hey, fine, thank you, Stephen, and thank you for your very, very warm welcome there too. And it's lovely to be having this opportunity to chat to your fair self and your listeners out there. So thank you very much for that very, very warm welcome there, Stephen.
Well, it's certainly my pleasure. We're excited to have you here tonight, especially given the subject, which is sort of changing your consciousness or entering into a trance so as to, perhaps connect in spirit with someone, or perhaps to enhance your creativity. And what I'd like to do to begin is maybe talk about the physical basis of this. What can I do physically to maybe enter into the trance state?
Well, it really sort of depends, Stephen, what the person is wanting to do with it. You know, certainly from my point of view, with being a medium, I want to investigate trance to have a closer connection spirit-wise. You know, I'm a published author through trance. You know, where my guide who talks to me is a gentleman called William, and he gave me a lot of information over several months, which was put into a book called Teachings from William. So that was what I wanted to do, you know. And when you look at wanting to enhance, really it's not a meditative state, you know. It's certainly not anything to do with sort of possession, you know, where people can get the wrong end of the stick, which is why I really do enjoy in talking about trance to dispel some of the myths and to put people's mind at rest. The best thing for wanting to do trance is really is to enhance that psychic ability and that mediumistic ability that you have, because the mind naturally goes quieter. So when you're in a waking state, a cognitive state, you can easily lower that brain wave from the beta wave into the alpha wave, and therefore I can talk to you, I can be aware of who is talking to me spirit side, I can be more aware of what energies are there, whether they're ghost, oblique, residual energies, or whether they're actual spirit energies, and still maintain a conversation with a real physical person. So it does enhance a lot of things, but I feel trance mainly is really inherent with psychic or mediumistic type of things, you know. Sitting Bull and people like so used to do the drumming, the trance dance, anything that that puts the mind or puts images or sound into the mind, which with every person will be slightly different, but it matches their brainwave, and therefore the conscious mind seems to be not there. So the subconscious comes to the fore, and it can be, you know, it can be very much open to perceiving images, sounds, visions, you know, that are very, very accurate.
Very interesting. I'm reminded at once of the Sufis.
Yes.
You know, the whirling dervishes. And I had the pleasure of talking with a Sufi once, and he emphasized to me very strongly that this was not a dance, that he was not dancing, that the whirling itself facilitated the trance, you know, the communication with God, you know. So that's
definitely.
And so it raises, you know, you hear a lot of talk about how, you know, raising the vibratory rate, lowering the vibratory rate. Would you say trance is, or, you know, meditating or allowing yourself to fall into a trance, would you say that's involved in lowering or raising the vibratory rate?
Yeah, well, really, it isn't in my point anyway. It's not about raising your vibe. It's about slowing the mind down. Yeah, there is a difference there. Anything that is of a repetitive nature, going round in circles, when you were sort of driving the road at night time, you see that white line in the middle of the road. If you stare at that, then you'll just go. You know what I mean? Because it's very much repetitive, and that's what the conscious mind fixes onto, yeah? And therefore, it seems to just be going off on its own, and we're more aware subconscious-wise, yeah? So really, from that point of view, it's getting to slow the mind down. That is the important thing, you know, where we're looking at the alpha wave, which is around 8 to 15 cycles a second, and then into the theta, which again goes around 5 to 8, you know, from each brain wave that we drop down is almost halved in actual, to call it, electrical impulses. So the thing, you know, your mind just becomes so much quieter, and you become more aware of what is around you due to that sort of stillness. You know what I mean? It is an absolutely beautiful state to be in, you know. But when you're looking at doing a meditation, Stephen, the conscious mind's there, because you're listening to a voice telling you that you're walking down a road, you come into a copse of trees, you're by a stream. So the conscious mind is still there because you're listening. Or if there's a person there, or even if you're listening to music, the fact is your ears are still straining to hear that sound. So that brainwave is still kept within the very the mid to, you know, to low alpha at the deepest, you know what I mean? So the conscious mind's still there.
Very interesting. One thing you impressed me with was when you said that entering into the trance state, changing your consciousness or adapting it to be able to do the higher spiritual type of work, referred to this as an active process and not a passive thing at all. And I think a lot of people think of the trance as falling asleep perhaps or getting relaxed, but you're saying it's very active.
It is. I mean, the thing is, being in a very relaxed state is meditative, You know what I mean? Because that is what you're doing. You're trying to relax the body, you know, as well as the your mind. In a trance state, you're doing it to communicate with spirit, you know, whichever way that you see, you know. If you want to term it as being closer to God, closer to the angels, you know, and therefore info can be given to you that is very, very valuable about what is going to be happening in your life, you know. You might have questions that again can be asked, and the more practice that you do, then you can go into a lighter state of trance, which is termed as overshadowing, which is where I am when I'm doing my artwork. Then you can actually write those feelings down without hearing the words. You can write, and you get a whole diatribe there of oh, I didn't realize that was happening, and it comes to pass because you're not thinking about it with your conscious mind.
Now, color is very important to you. You describe in your youth being, you know, first being, or at least being aware of color to the point that you could see auras and things of that nature. So how does color affect your consciousness? How can it change your consciousness and perhaps even mine?
Well, color again, you know, I do feel everybody is capable of feeling colors with the people. You know, you don't have to actually see them, you know. And when you look at going to sleep in a different colored room, you know, a yellow room is very, very busy, where people say a blue room is cold, you know, a red just keeps us awake, you know, where a darker color like a dark brown can give us that sort of sleep. So it does have its own frequency range. Every color does, even though it's in the visible light spectrum, each one is variable different, you know. So we actually might feel more comfortable in a blue room, whereby it keeps most people awake, you know. So it does have some bearing on the mind, certainly. You know, if we see somebody coming towards us dressed in bright yellow, we think, oh, yeah, in a minute, you know, and we think, I think I'll cross the road, you know what I mean? So
right.
It's what we see with people, it's what we understand colour as, and it's a very subjective thing, but certainly it can have influence on the mind, and therefore, you know, give us that a different outlook, perhaps, Stephen.
Absolutely. I even as many as 2,000 years ago, the ancient Greeks, they saw that, you know, flickering lights of different rates would affect someone's awareness state, their consciousness, perhaps even mesmerize them or something like that. So what do you think about using, you know, let's say that I want, you know, maybe perhaps I've lost a loved one, or maybe I'm lonely and want to sort of connect in spirit to a kindred soul, I guess, or for whatever reason. What sort of props, or, you know, perhaps even music, or what do you think about using props to help induce that mesmeric state?
At first, you know, doing a trance is something that's not done, you know, straight away. It takes practice, you know. I did trance roughly once a week for 5 years, you know, to get to the stage where I was, you know. So it depends what time, what sort of dedication you have. But certainly, if you want that that time to connect with your loved one, you know, your parents, your partner, then it is again about quieting the mind down and taking away that cognitive awareness, which says, is it me, is it them, am I wanting them to say that, am I just imagining? Yeah, so right. Take it to a deeper state, and I would recommend you can do it in one of two ways. Is totally have a darkened room. Yeah, not pitch black. Just have it dark enough. There's no music playing, and just relax yourself the best you can. And then it comes more in feelings, because again, as your brainwave slows down, then it does affect the auric field. It becomes more sort of pliable, because I look at the subconscious being a very, very slow frequency and a very high amplitude would make the auric field more magnetic, almost like a pulling, a drawing in, very, very slow, and therefore it's more permeable, so you can hear and feel what is being said. You know, you might get that scent, you know, your father's cigars or your grandmother's favorite perfume being easily taken on board, and the feelings that person made you feel when they were around you, comfortable and loved. Yeah, the other side of things there is a little bit on what you were saying. You know, when you had that sort of flashing light, the same thing can be done with a candle, a glass ball. It doesn't have to be one of those crystal balls. It can just be glass, or even a darkened surface, a bowl of water, and you just look at it. Because again, once you give your mind something to do, that cognitive self something to do, then it's off doing it. Yeah, and you don't think about it, and then any information, any feelings just bypasses the conscious self, and it just comes into you there. So you can also get feelings that way. So it's giving the mind something to do, or quieting it down. It both works just as equally well.
I've got to admit, I like that one. It's almost as if, correct me if I'm wrong here, if I'm misunderstanding, but it's almost as if I'm tricking the mind or distracting it to sort of get it to sidestep so that my loved one or whomever perhaps can send me a message.
Yes, because the thing is, it's always that, or it must be me, yeah? Right. Or that is what I think that they would say. Yeah, you've heard of, I do feel, writing in an inspirational way, an automatic writing. When you're writing in an inspirational way, you might be writing very quick, but you know when you need to change lines to start a new sentence, so your conscious mind's there. When it's of a deeper subconscious level, yeah, then you just write and write and write, and it comes ever so much deeper. Yeah, you may have to sort of read it back afterwards and change and say, oh yeah, that sentence needs to start there, that paragraph is there, but it's so much more deeper. You know, there's so much more detail and things that are not what you were thinking about. They're not necessarily you know, you might be saying, oh mum, are you there, do you still care, do you still love me? And you might get all this, yes I do, I am there, but then it goes really, really deep, you know, and it might mention something again that has happened, and something that only mum would know. And then you talk to your family and they said, oh yeah, mum said that to me when, you know, just before she passed away. So you have no knowledge of that, and that would say that there's somebody there, i.e. your mother in this case, giving you that info, and we've got it because we've taken the conscious self out. You know, so it's straight out, pardon the pun, straight out of the horse's mouth.
Right, absolutely. That's, I can envision having to put forth quite a bit of effort, you know, maybe even fill 3 or 4 pages before, you know, we get to some legitimate stuff there.
Yeah, sorry, Stephen. I was jumping in on you there. It does take practice. You know, it's not something that's going to be done in just a week or 10 days. Yeah, and this is where patience needs to be done. But you know, it's nothing to be rushed. You cannot rush trance at all. You know, it really does have to be taken on board. Even the trance dance, the drumming, anything that sort of puts the mind into a repetitive pattern, anything that does that will induce an altered state, and it varies on how deep you are wanting to go to the level of contact communication that you are actually wishing for, you know, and it does enhance everything. You know, it gives you a sense of well-being because it goes deeper than just a meditation. You know, you might find yourself coming back where your face feels warm, you feel thirsty, and there's a thing, I'm sure I've been told something, but I can't recall it, but it gives you a self of well-being. It's a very spiritual thing.
Oh yes. Well, you embark on a lot of investigations of hauntings and things of that nature. When you enter into a domicile or a building or anything, do you go through a process of you know, trying to change your, trying to alter your consciousness, you know, before, you know, connecting with whatever entity is inside that building? What do you do to connect with them?
Well, firstly, it's a very, very good question, you know, and it's one where I've been doing the paranormal work for nearly 11 years now, and you're talking maybe 6 or 7 times a month, you know, over that sort of period. So it has literally become second nature, and when anything becomes second nature, it's automatically gone into the realms of the subconscious. And because I've had that trance training, then my brain waves go down to the mid alpha wave without me even having to try. I just switch. You know, it's like flicking a switch. I'm in that mode. You know, as soon as I walk into a building, I can see what the building used to look like. I can get, you know, the stories associated with it, what the rooms would have been used for, because, you know, some of them are actually saying, yes, this is a kitchen. You're saying, sorry, but it isn't. I'm seeing this as a music room, you know, or a gents smoking room, and the people do the research, and more often than not, it is as the mediums say, you know. So it's just being not. It's about not trying, to be honest, Stephen. You know, but the way that my guides put it over is the art of hearing. Listening without hearing. So you just go on trust, really. But it becomes automatic, you know, and you just do it. You just sink into it. So my sort of guidance would be for somebody trying this for perhaps the first couple of times is not to try. You know, don't think, oh, I've got to get some. I've got to get some. I've got to get some. Go on your feelings and then just let it go. Because as soon as you put yourself into I'm feeling this, I'm feeling that, you must be in an altered state to feel. Yeah, so it's just taking it to that next stage, slowing the mind down. Yeah, and when you do that, the feelings get stronger and stronger, and you're able to see, hear, smell, taste. You know, and it is a beautiful thing. You know, we've had some lovely stuff happen, and I'm very, very visual. So if there's a person dressed in the time of the of Henry VIII, that type of thing, coming along the corridor, I'll see them in full gear, you know, and it's absolutely amazing.
Yes, it sounds really amazing. What's playing through my mind right now, I'm thinking of the forensic criminologists,
yes,
who actually
yes.
use the touch DNA. You know, like if I shook your hand or clapped you on the shoulder, you know, I would actually leave DNA from myself and take some, you know, it's an exchange. And I'm thinking we have that touch phenomenon even in all the generations that lived in our houses before us. You know, they left a little residue of themselves, a spiritual DNA behind. And maybe perhaps this is what you're picking up on when you automatically put yourself in this altered state.
Yeah, it's similar to what is called what you call it now, psychometry. You know, where you're doing the psychometrics, where you're picking up energy that's put into an object. You know, people normally go for rings or watches, but you can go just as easily. You can pick somebody's shoe and read about that person without them even being in that same room as you. You know, just by having that energy imprint of something that they've held or worn for, you know, a number of weeks or months, and you can tell everything. You know, I have people, you know, who I teach doing jumper readings or t-shirt readings. You know, anything that person has worn, then you can get that sort of energy from it and tell them all about them, you know. And it does frighten some people that can happen. And it would be nice going into a place after a crime scene and be able to add a little bit of a picture to what you feel has gone on and just augment it with what science is saying. I think that would be a good area for scientific investigation there, to see if people can actually do that, you know, as close afterwards as possible.
Right. Well, you've been surrounded by supernatural phenomena since you were a child, right? I mean,
yes. Yeah, it scared the living daylights out of me, honestly.
It took you some time to get used to this sort of communication.
Yes, yeah. I mean, when when you're a child, you know, you're innocent, it's out the mouth of babes. I didn't feel anything different. I just thought, well, the people, you know, I used to have a little lady sit on the end of my bed who turned out to be my great grandmother who passed before I was born, and even though it was so long ago, I could imagine myself taking it that she must be here because my mum's let her in through the door. You know what I mean? There's no other way she could have got in. You know, you don't visualize, oh, she's come through the wall. She must have come in through the door because that's how I had to come in the house. Yeah. And then it wasn't until, you know, coming over towards 10, 11 years of age where people said, no, that's a dead person. That's when I got really panicky. Yeah. And I thought myself, but this person is dead. It's when that sort of realization is given to you. But now I just think back and think, wow, it's been beautiful. You know, being able to see people's loved ones. And even though it scares you at times, it's just beautiful to be able to link between the two worlds, so to speak there, Stephen.
Well, I think to the trance state, one is simulating death, perhaps. You know, the physicians, they'll note that a lot of times respiration rate will drop, you know, and various physiological vital signs or whatever will. And you know, we hear stories about the Indian fakirs who could actually essentially hibernate, you know. And so it just makes me think that the trance state is a simulation of death, that they're very related, energetically speaking, you know?
Definitely. Like, trance is very linked to what is known as physical mediumship. And the deep trance mediums who go into a physical, then it's within the realms of the of what is termed as the delta wave, which is about 1.5 to 3 cycles per second. Really is slow, and it's linked to babies while they're in the womb. That is the frequency that their sort of developing brain is. So that is why they can take on board if the mothers are always playing the same type of music. You know, it does filter through. So really, it is very, 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 very deep, you know. Your looking death isn't much further on there. You know, obviously it goes to zero, doesn't it? But when you look at 1.5 cycles per second, it isn't far off. But it does allow us a closer union and a closer glimpse to what could potentially be termed in a scientific way as an afterlife, you know, because the info given at times is well above the educational state of the person receiving the information, and without their knowledge, or you know, they wouldn't have a clue. So that must say it's not from them; it must be somebody else.
It boggles the mind, I swear. Wait, Ian, hold that thought. We're about to take a commercial, and when we get back, I'd like to examine how we can use trance to actually manifest the things that we want in life, to bring our desires into the life, when we get back from that one-minute commercial. But before we go, I'd like to just remind everybody that next week we're going to have a Psychic Viewpoint special program, 2 hours. From 8 to 10 New York time will be devoted to live call-in readings. You will not want to miss that. And I'd also like to remind everyone listening that they can check out Ian Doherty at www.ian-doherty.co.uk. And with that, we will be right back.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at PsychicAccess.com?
Welcome back. Tonight we have Ian Doherty, acclaimed psychic medium, author, artist, and paranormal investigator. And we're talking tonight about the trance state and how to use it both to connect with spirit worlds and also to improve your life. Ian, thanks for joining us tonight, sir.
You are more than welcome. I'm having a very good time, and it's very lovely to have the opportunity to talk to people about trance. You know,
yes.
I think it's a very necessary thing.
Well, this is quite educational for myself as well. Well, what I'd like to go into now is, you know, a lot of magical schools, they believe that you can bring about what you want in life by visualizing it, by focusing
yes.
on it. And they sort of divide up that operation into A, visualizing it, and B, sort of controlling your emotional state. And that the combination of these two things will sort of attract what you want into your life. So how can trance be used to regulate my emotional state, manufacture good things, and banish bad, so to speak?
Well, yeah, I mean, like the cognitive mind is the root of all evil at times, particularly when people are very, very strong minded. When you're feeling a little bit, things are running away from me, the financial situation or the job situation, you know, then your mind goes overtime and it makes, you know, everything is going to be dire. And then, funny enough, that happens, you know, through the strength of the mind. Mediumship, after all, is mind-to-mind communication. Healing, spiritual healing, is again given through the mind. And where trance can help, I do have William here with me, who's talking to me at this moment in time. Where trance can help, it puts us into that state where we can feel what is there rather than what is very much given to thought, imaginary, you know, through the cognitive self. So if we can put ourselves in the trance state, feel calm, feel well, and know that things are going to be getting better, then it does manifest onto the waking mind, and therefore straight away your waking mind has been told, same as really through hypnosis, about giving yourself that confidence, giving yourself that's going to be here, you don't want to smoke, but going into a trance state and saying to yourself, do you know what, I love me, I am beautiful, and things are getting better, and I know there's changes around the corner, things are coming to me, and I'm going to be fine, then straight away you're giving yourself that auto cue, if you wish, Stephen, to blanket that conscious mind and therefore make good things happen, you know. And it is, I do feel, would be beneficial, particularly to those people who are very, very strong minded, logical people, you know, because being on a high, it's amplified. Being on a low is amplified. So we want to take that very much even ground, be nice and easy in a relaxed state. And then when we, you know, the more that we can do it, we just feel good. We get that feel-good factor. We introduce that things are going to be well, that I am getting better, there's better things coming, and it does happen.
Well, physicians, the scientific community, they in their laboratory clinical observation of trance states, they, you know, the word euphoria crops up in their notes constantly.
Yeah.
And so that makes me think, wow, you know, maybe I can, you know, maybe we can accomplish the golden dream of the drug addicts to regulate the natural endorphins and dopamine of one's brain through trance.
Yeah.
To make yourself feel great. I mean, think of the applications that would have for the chronically depressed, for example.
Yes, definitely. Because when you think about it, you know, you're hitting on the mind. You know, the feel good dopamine, the endorphins. You know, like people who go to the gym. You know, they're on the treadmill for 45 minutes. They feel absolutely fantastic. Yeah. So going into a trance state can also achieve that. Yeah. You feel very, very good about you. Yeah, and it's almost the way that that it was put over to me. It's like having that little test that we had, or that little game we had in science, where you put little metal filings onto a piece of paper, you put a magnet underneath, run the magnet along the paper, and it all lines up. Yeah, so it's putting your mind, all that clutter, into just nice, neat rows, and therefore the thought processes are more coherent rather than all over the place.
Right, absolutely. I want to remind the listeners and everyone that the word endorphin is actually two words. Endogenous, which means native, morphine. So we're talking about the potential to flood your body with some natural, a natural feeling of optimism. Of course, you want to be responsible about this, I would imagine, right? We can't have everybody bumbling about in a trance state.
No. I mean, it is very, very true there. From that point of view, I would recommend that if you are going to do any sort of trance, then you do it in a group. Not just do it willy nilly on your own. Have somebody there who's done trance, who has an understanding of how the brain works and more importantly how the subconscious works. And then we can do it in turns. 20 minutes, maybe three times a week is far more, is more than adequate, but have somebody there who can talk you back, who can say, come on, let's not be silly and chat away that way. So there is more comfort, but in a very controlled state.
So the buddy system can work when developing this skill.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, everything. When the whole body slows down, then naturally electrical impulses through the body, the central nervous, the outlying parts of the body, where all the nerves go to. Everything can be really slowed down. The blood pressure certainly can benefit, and that has a lot of things, on the medical side. We can take blood pressure, relieve stress, release that type of thing. Certainly from a point of view of just being in a chilled state. So straight away, if we're feeling better, and we're less down, we're less moody, our blood pressure comes down, we do feel better. So it does have those clinical benefits as well as having the more obvious spiritual side effects.
Well, I tell you, earlier we talked about polarizing the emotions. When I say polarize, taking it from one pole, which is bad, and going from the other pole, which is good, And I'm thinking about how, cult leaders and, how they use altered states to do it precisely that, to polarize the victim's emotions in order to sort of preempt that victim's willpower, you see. And so, when you remarked about using the buddy system or getting involved in a group, I really think that's probably a really wise thing to do, to find a teacher that you can trust.
Yeah. Yes, definitely.
How hard is that, to find a teacher that you can trust?
Now, if you want to develop trance, then it can be quite hard because, there are people who have trance groups or trance circles, and it can be clicky, or you might have to wait until there's a space there. You might have to wait, 7 or 8 months or even a couple of years before somebody decides I've had enough and somebody else can come back on board. So another way would be to go to, if there's anywhere where they do actual workshops, a weekend workshop where you can understand more, you can practice, and you get get more knowledge that way. But it does seem very, very logical thing to do and wise, to be honest.
Well, let's do a little hypothetical here, an experiment. Let's just say that I'm jobless. I just got laid off from my job. Maybe my company went under, just disappeared, poof.
Yes.
And I listened to the show tonight, and I'm determined. I'm going to, I got nothing to lose. I'm going to try to use trance as a way to visualize myself into a job. What would be a good way of going about that in order to make that job happen, in order to attract that job? Should I just meditate and envision myself in the perfect job and, actually construct, should I fantasize about it?
Yeah, sort of thing? Well, Firstly, I do feel, Stephen, and it's a very good question that you posed there, Stephen. I personally feel, first of all, you have to remove the negativity, you know, that really bad feelings that things are going to get worse and worse and worse. So straight away, focus on yourself, you know what I mean? Get yourself calmed down, go into a light to an overshadowing type trance state, and just try to feel yourself, you know, feeling well, feeling nice, feeling loved. Yeah, all right. And to take away crisis, you know, take away that panic, you know, from that conscious self, because it will always raise doubt, and we're back to square one. So start telling yourself it's going to be fine, it's going to be fine, it's going to be fine. Yeah, and then once you get there, then you can think, you know what, I would like to know what is happening. I want to know what is going on. There is a job coming, not is there, when is it? It's here. Yeah, and start asking questions like that. And when you're not in too deep a state, then you can either take a little dictaphone, you can turn it on and you can speak, or you can have a pen, you know, a pen and paper, and okay, when is this job coming? And you might find yourself writing 12th of August, you know, and you're thinking, oh, so I know straight away 12th of August is going to be something there. Yeah, so then you can start looking forward to that time. You think, right, there is something there. Then you can say, right, I've got something. So it takes the pressure off. Yeah, and we can keep on doing it. And then we can, once we think, yes, it is definitely here, we get the sense of more information coming through, and then we can think, right, okay, then I can see myself into it. Yeah, rather than sort of think, okay, I'm going to see myself suddenly as a chairman of the board. I'm going to be a pilot. It's got to be feasible, you know. So you're thinking, right, okay, there is summer coming. It may be 2 months or 6 weeks away, but it's coming. Yeah, so I can still feel better about myself. I can get myself in order. I know I don't have to panic. I'm not going to have to lose anything. Yeah, and then we take the pressure off. And then once we're into that more relaxed state where we can more easily get past the conscious mind, that's when the more info is given to us. There is also one of the benefits also, please, and another reason why, you know, trance there, when we're fast asleep, we can reach down into the into the delta wave, we can reach down into the theta wave, and again we get given info based on the fact that the conscious mind is further and further asleep. Yeah, so it does have an impact of being external into the internal within dreams, and then it comes out of the dreams and we make it realistic. We actually get it to happen. So it's all intertwined in that way.
So there we go. We confront the concept again of sidestepping the conscious mind, that part of the mind that says, no, you're too stupid, you're too dumb, you're too ugly, you're too this, you're too that, not enough. Sidestepping that critical part of ourselves. You know what? Hearing you describe that, it really sounds as if what I'm doing, the trance is empowering me to borrow from my future self-confidence when I have that job, borrowing it today. You know, to benefit from it today.
Yes, Stephen, that's a really lovely way that you put that over there. You know, it is very, very nice. It might seem a very simplistic way, but it's not complicated. So therefore, it must naturally be simple. Yeah. Okay. Right. And it is keep it simple, stupid. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So therefore, again, what complicates matters is the way that we've been brought up as children, our schooling, religious background, you know, the way that we do what work that we've been doing, all formates all forms the mind to have that rigid thinking. So therefore, taking it off and going underneath it, yeah, then we get to our real self, all right? But the thing is, we are then, if you wish, in tune to that sort of universal energy where psychics are, you know? It's almost being able to say to a person, okay, what have I got for you future-wise? I I subconsciously ask the universe, I get your phone number and I ring your phone number and I get told about you. So I can give that that info there without my mind going anywhere, because the concept again of time is that we see it going forwards and backwards when it's everywhere. Every possible future is here and now, seems every past and everything, you know. And being in the trance state really does give you that that easiness to tap in to that energy that a psychic, a medium does naturally. Yeah, so right. That is gives you an inkling about things good, about good things coming up. Yes, I've got this, I've got that. And of course, if some information comes up to say, well, you know, if you carry on your course you're going to, you're going to come, you know, you're going to fall foul, then you've got the chance to change your ways. You know what I mean? So it does work on every avenue there.
Oh, wow. That is really, really encouraging. The important point to take away is that there's a tangible benefit from that the trance gives you, that you carry away from the trance session, that actually helps you to be more effective in getting what you want.
Well, so, yes. I mean, and getting what you want, you know, it's... people, certainly mediums and psychics, you know, we tend not to ask for ourselves, because we're supposed to be trying to be spiritual, but again, within a physical world, you know, so we do need physical things to better help us and better help, therefore we can help others, isn't it? So but when you're looking at all the things, it's what we really want, you know. Suddenly sort of going into a meditation thinking, right, I would like to win, you know, $500 million, so I can just go and buy an island and just live, you know, whatever I want to do. We have to be feasible, you know. And it's not about thinking small, it's about thinking big, but things that are practical, you know, that can be of benefit to us, then that's the things that do happen, you know, things that are benefit for us and beneficial to others around us. And that's when, and that's the key. It's both the actual intent, but the benefit it will bring to you know, to yourself and more people around you, then that's when things happen.
Very good point there. Not to expect nonsense from this practice just because it's metaphysical. One should not expect nonsense, because that's disrespecting the process. And in fact, that's exactly what you'll get from it, is nonsense. No.
Yes. Yes. Well, it is. You know, if you suddenly want to win millions and millions and millions, you know, and you don't care about the common person because I'm fine, then the chances are it'll be no, you know. Whereas if you're saying, oh, do you know what, it would nice to win such and such, then I can help people, you know, I can give people a bit of this, a bit of people that, or I can give to animal charities, or I can set up something that will be beneficial for a lot of people, then the chances are that is more likely to actually happen.
Ah, yes. So you increase your chances the more you can conform your goal to the larger social good.
Yeah, because then at the end of the day, if you're looking at working with a universal energy, we're all interconnected, one with the other. We're all linked into that one big universal brain. Yeah, it's how psychics are able to tune in and tell you about you and tell you a little bit about what is probably going to happen future wise and it comes to pass in that way. Yeah, so therefore if it's of benefit for more people, then the chances are that is in the natural spiritual laws, so the chances are that will work of more benefit, certainly.
Oh wow, this is we've really gone over a lot of information to digest here. Do you have any parting thoughts or any tips as we move into the end of the show?
No, really is don't be hard on yourself. You know, the hardest lesson to learn is patience. It is all in good time. Yeah, and the main thing is do it properly, please. Try and find a group or even what do you call it, society that does this type of thing. Yeah, do it with like-minded people for the right intent. Yeah, and enjoy the journey of self discovery, you know, because I think it is beautiful. The more we can enhance ourselves and our own being in largely a spiritual way, then we're helping our fellow man, so to speak, Stephen, because we're helping ourselves to be better in order to be of service or help others. So therefore, it just makes, you know, it's just lovely. It's a lovely feeling. All. Nice and warm inside.
Approaching the trance to get what we want out of it forces us to ponder ourselves and think about ourselves and what we really want out of life, no?
Yeah, yes, it does, because it brings that sort of closer to, you know, if you wish, closer to God, closer to what is really of import, you know? Doing a trance can enhance our own sensitivity. So at one time where we perhaps wouldn't cry at watching a film, suddenly we find ourselves in floods of tears because we're allowing ourselves to feel, you know. So it does have those benefits too, you know. That really just in increases the want to help or the desire to be of help, you know. So then it has loads and loads of benefits, as well as practical issues, you know, such as lowering the blood pressure, the stress levels. So it is beneficial all the way around, but it's the right intent.
Absolutely. Well, Ian, I really appreciate you joining us tonight. Unfortunately, we've come to the end of our show here. But I really am glad that you came out here tonight to share your wisdom and experience with us. Thank you.
You're welcome, Stephen. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak to that lovely audience and to your fair self as well. So thank you, Stephen.
All right. Well, we really appreciate it. You have a great one, Ian, okay?
Okay, mate. Thank you, Stephen. Night-night, mate.
Night-night, mate. So polite, the British. I love them. I'm such an Anglophile. They're all awesome, awesome. Well, I just want to remind you guys, you can find Ian Doherty at ian-doherty.co.uk, and you can pick up his book, Teachings from William, and also read up about Mr. Doherty's artworks and his paranormal investigations. And I also want to remind you guys that next week we will be having that 2-hour free live call-in show. There will be no guests. The entire show from 8 to 10 p.m. New York time is going to be dedicated to live call-in readings for free. So mark that one in your date books. Be sure to stay tuned for the second half hour of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We're going to announce that number later, so be sure to have your pen and paper ready. If you were unable to catch last week's show titled Are You Psychic, you'll find a recorded archive link as well as archives of all previous shows on psychicaccesstalkradio.com under the Archives tab. Please feel free to circulate that archive links and future show details to your friends and family. It's our objective to connect with as many of you as possible, so please share that link with others. Also, be sure to visit psychicbloggers.com to learn about everything from the paranormal to reincarnation to the trance state. There's a ton of how-tos on psychic development at psychicbloggers.com. You will not want to miss it. If you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them and to choose from the list of some of the most authentic gifted psychics around. It's an honor working with Doug and Psychic Access because the high expectations are placed upon every single psychic there. Everybody on every profile page on psychicaccess.com has been vetted and thoroughly investigated. All the co-hosts here are also psychics on psychicaccess.com, and if you'd like a personal reading from any one of us, be sure to visit us and we would love to hear from you. If you're a site owner or a webmaster, you can earn 50 cents per minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to psychicaccess.com. For more details, visit psychicaccess.com/webmasters. If you like the show, invite your friends to join us in our chat room and listen to the Psychic Viewpoint. There's something for everybody, so spread the word. We very much appreciate it, and do not miss next week's divination extravaganza. All of us here on Psychic Viewpoint will be taking your calls live and at no charge from 8 until 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Okay, so I'd like to get some opinions from my co-hosts, rather, about what they thought about tonight's interview. Steve, let's start with you.
I really enjoyed the interview. Thanks, Stephen. I'd really love to hear about the different brain states. It's something that fascinates me. And listening to the interview is just a reminder of the spiritualist tradition and the strength of that tradition in the UK. I learned to control, I think, my mediumship through the spiritualist organization in the UK, and also did some trance work. And it's fascinating, not for everybody, but extremely interesting experience if it's professionally managed with the right support.
So what do you think happens to your, neural oscillations when you're making a connection with spirit? What do you suspect happens?
Well, I know that we operate at a much lower and slower frequency on the Earth plane. Mm-hmm. So the human brain is operating at a pretty low frequency in the great scheme of things. And the planes above operate at increasing frequencies. And it's a little like radio waves. We know that radio waves are flying around our planet and through our walls right now, but our human brains are not detecting those radio waves. We're not a receiving set for those waves, although we're a receiving set for light and for smells and sounds, some sounds. And so, in effect, when we connect with the spirit, whether it's in trance, and I believe, in fact, that any connection with spirit is a trance, even if it's just a very mild form of trance. Going to sleep is trance. It's an altered state of consciousness in which I feel that we are more closely engaged with our spiritual or astral selves and the spiritual and astral planes. So when we connect with spirits, when we perform mediumship, the medium is deliberately increasing the frequency. That's one of the reasons why mediumship is so exhausting. It's very exhausting for the physical body, so it's something that's very wearing upon the physical being in the long term. And even just conducting some mediumship on one occasion is tiring. You really feel like you've been hit by a truck, you know, you want to go and sleep. And you want to eat as well. I usually eat a banana after doing mediumship. And really you're grounding yourself and bringing your energy, your frequency back down to a more normal state for a human. But spirit also have to slow down or lower their frequency in order to connect with us. That's why often when you connect with spirit mediumistically, it's a very fleeting connection. So I often describe the difference between psychic work and mediumistic work, or the psychic sense and the mediumistic sense, in this way. When you're reading psychically, you can go on and on and on. You work with that energy progressively, continue to read, continue to get insight. It functions that way. And usually mediumistic energy is much faster, so you feel the pace change. You know that you've connected to somebody in spirit because the pace is fast, the communication is fast, and it's a little bit like a droplet of water, but that can contain a vast amount of information. But it's very sudden and very fast. And then you know when you're switching back to working psychically with the client, because again, you return to that slower, continuous, progressive energy and ability just to read the individual you're working with.
Well, you know, it's so interesting that you mentioned water, Steve, because scientists today are toying with the idea that water has a memory, that it retains memories of all the bodies placed in it, that a river, for example, in Holland will have a memory of every little Dutch person that splashed in that river from the dawn of eternity until today.
Yeah.
And in fact, if they've done experiments about this in Japan, they freeze water droplets while passing heavy metal music or classical music through it, and observe the different freezing patterns. And you know, it's just really interesting, the wave-like nature of energy and how it connects all of us. And I'm sure there'll be some more research coming out about this in the future. But I tell you, I wish I could be a little EEG machine on the wall when you connect in spirit, because I would love to see some positron emission tomographies or something that measures the blood flow in your brain to the different regions. You know, I think that would be very interesting to see.
Would be, and I think that scientifically there's so much more for us to explore.
Yeah, thank God for that.
I think the scientific community is becoming more open-minded. I was sad to hear Candace Pert pass the spirit last week or the week before. Do you know of Candace Pert? She wrote the book Molecules of Emotion.
No, I do not, but the title of that book is fascinating.
Yeah, she's a quantum physicist, and I'm sure that she's returned to spirit because there's work for her to do there rather than here. But she's, as I said, a quantum physicist, but very spiritual. She was published with Hay House as well. A very knowledgeable lady that really did a lot of investigation into the way we function. And her book, Molecules of Emotion, is absolutely fascinating.
Ah, well, Steve, let me break in real fast. I have an announcement to make. We had two callers on the line. Would you please call us back in the next 10 minutes? We would really appreciate it if you guys would do that. Thank you very much. Okay, Steve. Well, I'd just like to remind everybody that you can visit Steve at psychicaccess.com, and I definitely encourage you to do so. Steve, thank you very much for your thoughts on that one, my friend.
My pleasure.
Carmen, what did you think of the interview? You're very scholastic and intuitive at the same time, so I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this.
Yeah. Thanks. Hey, I think waves are interesting. I think that we have to remember they come in different forms, and that when they're talking about what I was thinking about is that each wave cycle goes to, it's megahertz, right? And that these are the frequencies or the spectrum in which these waves are measured. And when you take it, we were just musing, like Steve was talking about, how does one apply that to physics? Well, you know, actually, they did actually some theories, and what they have is some emulated some of the machine in our mind, and that was through, I think that this was actually did start off through Tesla and his work through the Faraday cage. I love my Faraday cages, and it seems to me like what the idea that was postulated and that was actually technologically still useful today is the technology of being able to take these cycles. Roughly, I believe our cycle brainwave matches up actually with a layer outside of the Earth, which is actually called the Heaviside layer. And it's kind of like a ring around the Earth that is a radio wave frequency barrier between us and the outer shell, let's say, of our magnetic shell around our Earth. So and what they're doing right now is they're really trying to also really look into what comprises that, and then all the way down to the lower levels. Now, one of the reasons why I'm bringing this in about the Heaviside layer is because it's actually on the same same frequency as the human mind, as the cycles of some of our thoughts. And that's where some of the theory came in as to how we could actually utilize telepathy. Again, it's not necessarily on an electromagnetic current. It's not as necessarily conducted through an ion. We don't know yet how this is transmitted. And I think it's entirely possible. And then I'm thinking, of course, way ahead, and I'm thinking, well, isn't it interesting that they just actually, they've just brought out a neutrino. Again, they found a neutrino. They were able to capture it on camera for the second time in 50 years. And, you know, our mind is going to be able to have done that and done that entirely for free without, and I believe that that is a very comforting thought because, you know, you have people like Ian and you have people like us that are natural organic psychics that don't need technology to augment our skills. And like Steve was saying, intent, very important intent to get it on the right frequency. And I believe I believe that's how you access a lot of this. So, to tell you the truth, it was a very fascinating talk. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh, sure, sure. Do you ever find yourself sort of in a trance state or daydreaming, or, you know, just sort of not there, you know, where, you know, waiting in line or whatever, you just sort of, you know, drift off? You ever find yourself doing that?
Not really. No, I am highly conscious, unfortunately.
Well, unfortunately?
Yeah.
Sometimes it is nice. Sometimes it's nice to escape a little bit. I mean, the trance state is an excellent antidote to, reality. You know, so it comes in really handy when you're in a waiting room or you're bored or what have you.
I'm sure that I go into tiny cycles, like maybe 10 to 12 seconds at a time. I think that's probably normal in a brain pattern anyway for people to lapse maybe for those periods. But I'm certainly not utilizing it to its utmost. Not like this man did. Yeah.
Well, you know, you're still a spring chicken. You got plenty of time.
<I'm> sprite.
That's right. Young lass. Well, thank you very much for your comments on that, Carmen. We really appreciate that.
Fascinating. Thank you.
Sure. Maureen.
Ask me the same question. I want you to ask me the same question you just asked her, because I have some things I didn't think about it until you said. So okay. Go ahead.
All right. Let's see if my memory can recall this. Maureen, you know, you're a nice mixture of scholasticism and intuition. What do you think about the trance state?
No, you know, you didn't do that right. You said, no. Have you ever been in the... Okay.
Man, I knew I was going to disappoint, man.
No, Steve, I'm just yanking your chain because I adore you. No, you know, I wasn't going to talk about this until you just brought up something and you asked Carmen that question, because for me, unwillingly, I'm a sleepwalker.
Oh.
And that... I've talked about this before, and it can be very dangerous. In fact, very dangerous for myself. But I've been a sleepwalker. I've been doing this since a kid, and so that is. And they don't know. You know, that's a real weird thing why people do that or whatever. But stories. But in addition to that, I also when I was younger. It turns out later, I found out when I was in my 30s, epilepsy. The mild, it's called,
Petty mild. I forget,
yes. And, I still have that from time to time when my stress is high, but that's, again, another thing, and it's a psychic feeling. I mean, the feeling that comes upon you before, it's unreal. And again, they don't even understand yet. They will someday why our brains are triggered and the way it's getting triggered like that. And that's why a lot of people who have the major ones have dogs that can help them before. But I can feel it coming on intuitively right before it starts, which I just bring that up because it did happen to me. I'm sharing something kind of private, but I had to go to a place in the middle of this early morning because it happened, and it hadn't happened in years. So I was kind of whacked out. I'm always whacked out. But I do want to remark on something he said. I thought your guest was fantastic. He was interesting, and he really spoke about a very good wide range of things. You know, and speaking about the crystal snowflakes, I followed that for a while, and I think it was Dr. Emoto. And he was the guy that did the study about, you know, it's proof that our thoughts and feelings affect physical reality. And so, because we produce, so they did the things with, you know, for the water and the snowflakes, that if you put, they'd form crystals. And if you had beautiful and, you know, loving words showed brilliant, you know, they would turn colorful patterns. And if there was negative, it would be patterns and dull colors. It was just like, it obviously, I mean, the proof's in the pudding there. as well as because I have been pregnant with my daughter 22 years ago. Yeah. And in fact, it was a very stressful time for me. But there was one thing that I did constantly was I talked to myself anyway. I spoke to her, and I love music. I love dance. I love dancing and music. And even when things are really bad, I'm a good dancer too, but I spoke, and plus I was working so much on my business, I was constantly stimulating that kid's brain, because I was working test marketing my 900 line business at the time when it was, you know, in the late 80s, and so I was on the phone constantly, like up until I was about ready to pop, and you know, you know, my daughter does. She's a neuroscience major, and, you know, she's studying the brain.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So there you have it, you know, and we're 90%, you know, how much water do we have in us? So she was in my water. So
well, I think I must be in a trance state myself. I'm expecting all of the listeners to be able to call into the show without my having given them the numbers. So let me go ahead and spill that number. If you want to call in for a live reading, that's going to be 724-444-4851. Again, that would be 724-444-4851. Now, Maureen, your daughter, neurology, neuroscience, the brain, this is her bailiwick. This is her field. I'm curious to know what she might think about the trance state, especially her mother's trance states.
know, because since she's been in Thailand, we've been actually very much, she's been very much seeing how we're crossing over. You know, they're fusing together because she's over there studying meditation on the brain right now. And then she's off, and then she's, you know, after she gets back in March, April, she'll have any pick of her in the universities. But she plans to go into the field of mindfulness with the neuroscience in the PhD program, which, again, is a brilliant time for us, everybody. Our that generation is going to pass it on to the next, and we're all going to come together in a great way, the academic, scientific, with the people of our nature. Of us.
Wouldn't that be nice?
No, it is happening. I mean, she's a direct reflection of that. I mean, it's really lovely how it all worked out in a lot of ways. So she used to be embarrassed. You know, we had this, whatever, interesting relationship, a loving relationship, but she would sometimes, she's different than me, and I'm glad. You know, she grounded me, but she's on it. But now it's funny because we're both kind of like, you know, now we're both at a certain area where we're on the same line, and it's really it's a great time right now. It really is. And she happens to be my daughter, but there you have it.
Do you feel a strong connection? I mean, you say you have conversations with her in her absence. You talk to her. You feel a strong connection to her.
Yeah, because she's well now more. I always have, but now in the work because she's in Thailand next week. She asked a monk to go see. You know, it's very disciplined. You know, you can only after 12 noon you can't eat. And it's very, and you know, you just be in the now, and that's she. But she is studying it with her academic neuroscience. The mind and meditation do have something to be said about it, you know. So
Maureen, yeah. I'm glad that you have the floor right now because someone is calling you from the sunny state of Florida.
Oh, that's lovely. Okay, I'm ready. Hello, Florida. Florida.
Hello.
Hi. Hi. How are you? And what's your name? What's your name?
This is Carol.
Oh, hi, Carol. I saw you in chat. How are you?
I'm doing fine. And you?
I'm fine, thank you. And what can I look into for you?
Well, like I asked in the chat room, I didn't know if I would be talking to somebody that was a medium or not.
I'm not. I can be, but I don't. That's not on my bio, but sometimes I can. But I'm not. Can't say for sure tonight.
Okay.
But.
Oh, that's nice. Somebody just passed recently, and I thought, well, it'd be nice to get some confirmation from that person.
I'm sorry.
But if that's not what you do, then
I can try. No, you know, this is the thing. I can focus on this. You said recently someone passed, and was it okay? It looked like you had a lot of strength. Oh. It looked like there had been some suffering. If you can follow me, it looked like there had been some suffering going on spiritually, even with this person for quite a while, that just passed. But you had a lot of strength available. You know, it's almost like there's something very the connection in between worlds right now that you're able to connect in a way. Have you been having some unusual experiences with this person that has passed?
I
feel that you're really open to it right now.
I haven't seen him.
Well, yeah, I guess what I'm trying to say is I see that you're in a position to see, like real soon. I wanted to ask you, is this a person, well, I'm just going to ask you right out. Is this a person that was a family, real family connected with their family? Family.
Yes, it's family member.
Okay. You know, I'm picking up on female energy, but I keep feeling it's a man, but
I don't know how much you want me to feed you and how much you just want me to
Yeah, I
want to
make sure that I'm getting this right, because I do see there's connection here that you could pick up on if you can focus on this. Yeah, I'd like to know, because I'm picking up female energy around this, but...
Okay, it is a man that passed.
Is a man. Okay, but there's something very strong. There's females around this, a lot of females. And I feel that, you know, I this is what I would like to encourage you to do. There's a lot of pain around this, like coming from in the heart, or pain in the heart. And also female people, the female energy is really positive around this man, like whatever, maybe that makes sense to you, I'm not clear on that, but I do feel within the next 10 weeks, I feel that you're going to be able to really connect with this individual, and it's really important that you do so personally, and I feel that's because, like I said, I just feel the heart, the pain is the heart, it hurts, and I just feel that.
Pardon me, Carol? I'm sorry. Excuse me. When you say pain in the heart, do you mean physically or metaphysically? Do you mean emotional, or do you mean the heart in the chest?
Well, I'm feeling it in the chest, but
okay.
Do you follow anything I'm saying here to you?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes. Okay. Yes. And chest pain. Yes, I felt that, and I can understand why a female might be around. I can understand that.
Okay. But I do see that you're going to have some, I wish I could have it. You know, I don't have it with my father after 2 years. Where is he? You know, or something. I do feel that you are heading, like you're going to get some connection with this person. You're going to have a great experience of being able to connect with this person without asking me. Do you follow me? I see it coming. Really lovely. It'll be healing, bittersweet, and intense.
Yeah.
I hope I helped you, and there was some, it's real intense, this stuff around here. It will be exactly what is needed. And you had a lot of patience with this individual before they, and you had a lot of strength available going on. And there was interference of some sort with this. You know, Carol, you're going to have some peace with, I'm not saying you're not at peace, but you're going to have something, a very unusual experience. I think it will be something you'll never forget in regards to this person that just recently died.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, it'll be nice.
Thank you for sharing that with me. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Carol, for calling.
Well, thank you so much. Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much for that, Maureen. I'd like to remind everybody that they can visit Maureen at psychicaccess.com. Thank you. Okay, once again, the number to call to get your free reading is 724-444-4851. We ask that you limit your call to one question. We're going to answer all calls in the order received. In the limited amount of time we have, we ask that you focus on one question. Thank you very much. Steve, we have a caller for you from South Carolina.
Thank you, Stephen. Who's calling from South Carolina?
Hey, Steve, it's Aria. How are you?
I'm well, Aria. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm actually calling with needing to get a little bit more insight on a situation.
Okay, what's your question?
All right, well, I've been, apparently I've been getting, I guess, some calls. For whatever reason, it's regarding some type of legal matter. They indicated it could be identity theft, but I'm not really too certain about it. And something regarding papers being served on myself, I guess. So I'm just wanting to get a little bit more insight on that.
Let me see. Okay, well, I'm looking at the cards. I can see there's an issue. There's definitely a problem. The card in the current position indicates to me that there's definitely a challenge that you need to address. So I really feel that you need to respond. You need to get involved and find out exactly what's happened and deal with it. I feel that it will work out fine for you. The two cards in the future position indicate that it will turn out fine, and they also indicate that it will turn out for you financially as well. So I'm not overly concerned about how it plays out, as long as you get in their area and deal with the situation. But the two cards in the past, the recent past and a little further into the past, say there's definitely some misjustice and some procedural problems. So you need to get onto it as quickly as you can. And if you do, then I feel that it will work out fine. I don't think that it will give you any problems in terms of your records in the public domain. And I don't feel that it will impact you financially, as long as you get on it straight away. I do feel that a male's behind this rather than a female, but that's not overly important. What seems to be important is that you get out there and deal with the problem.
Okay, and you said something about financial. You were talking about, I guess I lost you where you said it has some financial gain.
The cards say to me that you'll be okay financially. I don't feel that it's going to have a financial impact if you act quickly.
Okay.
You know, often with identity theft, it can have repercussions financially, because it can mean that somebody took out a loan in another person's name, or a credit card, or even access to bank accounts. So you need to jump on it quickly. But okay, the cards indicate to me that it will work out okay for you, and that there won't be a financial impact if you deal with it quickly.
Okay. All right. That's all right. What I needed to hear.
Well, good luck to you.
All right. Thank you, Steve. I do appreciate it.
My pleasure. Take care now.
All right. You too.
Steve, thank you very much for that. That was excellent. And if you want a reading from Steve, feel free to navigate your web browser over to psychicaccess.com and find his profile. Next, we have a reading for Carmen from Georgia.
Hi, thank you, Steve.
Hi, what's your name? It's Carmen here.
I'm Carmen from Georgia.
Yeah, hi. What's your name? Is it Neek?
Monique.
Hello, Monique. How are you? Oh, my goodness. Nice to hear from you again. So, Monique, tonight,
I
want to
read on my family.
How can I bring this in line for you?
Family issues. I want to know, what's going on in my family. It's not the same since Monique died a while back, and I was wondering what's going on with them. Anytime soon, my family get back together like it's supposed to, like a family's supposed to be.
Okay, I'm sorry. Let's see.
Like family issues, like my love life, like
where
anybody
is putting
into my life,
and after I
have to work
there.
Back in the family, getting involved with what I'm with going on in my life.
Okay. Let's see here.
That's what I was wondering.
Can you hear me? Because I hear the television in the background, and I think that might be a problem. Or it's like us in the background, a lag, and it's just going to cause a problem with the reading.
Okay.
So, you know, here I'm looking at this, and it says here, a lack of interest, and this is what close family units are like. They don't tend to pay much interest because they take each other for granted. And there's a young male here who's sort of leading the charge. This could be even, you know, a removed cousin or something like that. But it seems to me here that they're paying attention to the people in the family that are kind of jiving along, young, really kind of up in the, I don't know, in the social scales, trying to get ahead work-wise, and probably attached. And I think that that's bottom line. You're looking here at, you know, typical human behavior, which is to look after their offspring. And, you know, even if you are, you know, one of them, what I feel here is that there's someone shinier right now that's taking place. I don't know if this the place of you, and it, It's a very, very typical dynamic, and I'm just wondering, are you okay? Because it says here that for the holidays, in any event, there'll be an invitation. Are you comfortable going?
Well, I'm okay going out. I don't get out much.
No, but with your family. Did you hear from them?
No, we're not really talking like I was saying before. It's not the same since my auntie died a while back. And their mother, grandmother, passed away back in 2009, March. She died with a heart attack.
Gosh, so and your other family, what are they being like with you?
Say what now?
What are they doing? Like, are they just basically not talking to you? Or what are they doing?
Well, basically, they feel the family not, don't get along like they used to.
So it's like the breakup of the family unit due to
mama,
a change.
Yeah, no, she kept the family together. She was the backbone of the family, and she's gone. So,
I would feel that to some extent that's grief, and that's going to take about 3 years to get through. You just have to know that's how people kind of function when trauma happens.
Mm-hmm.
And let me see. It does say here that at one point they may extend a greeting or an invitation, and that maybe is, you know, around or after Christmas or New Year's. And I think it's okay for you to keep your distance. I think that you're mourning them as well.
I don't want to get too involved with them. Like, I don't want them to get involved with my life. I didn't want to know about my love life. When anybody comes into my life, they always interfere in my business. When they into their business, they want to get upset. I would be like that.
I think so many of us can relate, and the problem is it's kind of they don't relate in a deep level. It's a very shallow relationship, even though you know them as intimately as well as your best friends. This is quite normal, unfortunately. And so to some extent, you know, you get very close families, but they are very, very few and far between. That's highly unusual, and I don't know how large your family is. But it feels to me like you have people that are possibly jealous after sort of a legal situation, possibly that was her estate. And, you know, let this go for a full 2 years, but I want to say for you, it says healing is incomplete because they're overwhelmed. And then it says there's a significant break, but you will hear from them again. And I feel for you. I think many, many people are in that situation, Monique. I just want you to not feel alone in that and know that to some extent, all you can do is continue to express your caring for them.
I wanted to drop the, if I get any, like, another relationship coming, so I just don't want them to, I don't want to drop.
They won't. Let's work on that. Cause like our reading said, and we have the next lady, next client coming in, but next caller. But I want you to know that I think that that's probably what you need to fix to get your relationship is your family. And you don't fix your family, but your independent relationship to your family will help you find a significant other. Monique, we're going to look forward to this coming true. And I think that, you know, you stay strong. It's a really, really drab, really terrible time of year, the most terrible time in human history. Stay strong. We're all trying to, and our hearts are with you, okay?
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Good night.
Thank you very much for that, Carmen. We appreciate it.
Oh,
and if anybody would like a reading with Carmen Miro, you can find her at psychicaccess.com. Okay, I believe I have a caller from Florida. Who am I speaking with in Florida?
Andy?
I'm sorry, would you mind repeating that, ma'am?
This is Andy.
Andy, okay. How may I help you?
Hello?
Yes. How may I help you?
Okay. I'm not sure how to word the question. I've been through a whole heck of a lot in a few months.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, what have you got to tell me?
You don't have a specific question? We want you to have one specific question. Is it going to happen? Is it not going to happen? that sort of thing.
Is it okay? Is it okay?
Okay, well, let's just start with that and go from there,
Is this okay with you?
Okay. Well, believe it or not, whether or not you feel as if this is a fortuitous season in your life right now, whatever your issue is, in the next couple days and weeks, things are going to improve for sure. If you could fast forward into, you know, and this will happen before Christmas. Right now, actually, this is the darkest hour before the dawn. So if you've been undergoing some stress on some issue, and if you're definitely going to be in for some good fortune. I'm inclined to think that this is going to be a romantic type of issue, even though the Five of Scepters pertains to business matters, ambitions, and careers, but it also has to do with wielding authority over people, for example, a partner. And so right now, the period you're in right now, you're actually going to be engaged in exercising your own personal authority over the problems that you're having, and you'll be successful in this, believe it or not. So whatever problem you're going through, it's not going to be the end of the world. I mean, again, you're on the verge of a sort of a breakthrough moment right now. You know, I hope that brings you some relief to know that, because, you know, if you're in some sort of a dilemma, the Five of Scepters assures me that you'll have a fairly favorable outcome and that you'll experience some good fortune coming up. Looking forward even beyond that, the Major Arcanum card number 14 refers to a process, almost like an alchemy that's going on. It's like a recovery that's dynamic, an active process of recovery and healing and sort of regenerating something that's been cut off or taken from you, you see. So that's going to be the main atmosphere in your life moving forward, regeneration, healing. And that process is actually going to be beginning probably as we get into 2014. Whatever situation you're in will begin to get corrected in a significant way. And there might be a little personal reinvention, too, with the alchemist, do you see? A little self-improvement, perhaps. So all in all, it's a fairly positive prognosis, you see? So how is all this sitting with you so far?
That's what I needed to hear tonight. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, very good. I'm really glad that you found our time useful together, and I hope you'll come visit us at psychicaccess.com. You can get a free 6-minute reading for registering there if you haven't registered before, okay?
I will try to do that. Just got to say real quick, I lost my soulmate the beginning of August. I've been really struggling, and yesterday it was like I heard him in my head say it's okay to go on.
Yeah.
And everything that you said confirms that.
The process is going to begin in earnest as we get into the beginning parts of 2014. So you're in for a major healing, okay?
I need it.
Good. Hey, look, happy holiday season to you, and thank you for calling us tonight, okay?
Thanks for answering my call.
It was my pleasure. My pleasure. Yes, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Bless her heart. Yeah.
It's always nice when that happens. Maureen! You have a call from New York.
Yes, New York. Hello, New York. How are you? Hi, New York. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, and may I have your name, please? Hi, this is Maureen.
Oh, it's Maureen. Hi. I spoke with you a couple weeks ago about work. Yep, actually, I ended up talking to that lady, but I never heard anything back. But I'm just going to kind of let the employment thing go. No luck on that yet. So it looks like I'm going to have to make some adjustments. So my question now is, I had an opportunity to move into a house, but last time I was there, there was this kid, his name's Jay, he kind of harasses a lot of people that go in there, and I had to get out. I was actually cornered by him. He's still there, so I'm a little reluctant to move, but again, I'm in a really bad financial situation. I'm just asking, what is it I need to know, or any guidance if I do make the choice to move into my friend's home, where his brother is still there, Jay.
Okay. You know, and is I, you know, I don't, I remember, can you give me your name so I can address you?
Yeah, Polly.
Okay, great. Okay. So, this is the friends and the kids there, and, well, he's obviously a kid that can, you know what, it's not good. What I see going on, if you choose you know, it's your choice. And I feel that you kind of already expressed what your feelings are. I do see a lost victory in this, and especially come January, it would just be, and it's just like it says, lost victory is a terrible place to be. And I do feel that there's some really negative legal things around this whole energy. It's not good for you. What I do see, though, there's some other opportunity or option, perhaps. I'm not clear on where it's coming from, but perhaps it may need to come from you reaching out somewhere else. I do feel, because you're not juggling as much anymore, that there's a better option for you. It will not be good. And like I said, I feel that I'm just, affirming this for you, because it does not look like a good situation. He has rage too, and I wouldn't underestimate him. And like I said, it would just be very tormenting for you to endure that. If you have an option, or if you've reached out, I would suggest doing so. There is something else, and I do feel. Like 11 days in 11 within 11 days I see some opportunity. It's to go in another direction, even if it may seem like it won't be as nice. Or look at the pros and cons, because this energy that kid, so-called kid, I don't know how he is, but he is the deal breaker. So if there's another opportunity that might not seem so, maybe the place is not so nice, it doesn't matter. It's the people that are coloring our environment that makes it us or breaks us. But I do see another opportunity, and you'll get knowledge of this soon. Like I said, I see within 11 days. Or you may need to reach out. It looks like there's a woman.
Where I am right now is good. It's just I'm not making any income. I didn't get a job yet, and I only have about a week to get a job.
Well, I still see that you're going to be a job thing. I see there's some, you have some fairness. Now, I don't know, well, it's pretty kind of close. If you can't get a job in a week, let's say you don't. Okay, so you have a week's time. Go and find another option somewhere that I know that's out there, that you wouldn't have to go into that environment. You know it's not going to be. It'll be devastating, and it won't do, it's a no-win situation.
Okay. I figured, because of this persona type, I picked up the suppressed rage too. And I don't think it's going to be, he's going to change.
No, it's scary. He's snapping. And it wouldn't be good for you, and your whole, you'd be out of whack with everything else in your life. It wouldn't be worth it. Absolutely.
All right, thank you.
I wish you well.
Thank you.
Thank you, bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Maureen. We really appreciate that. Steve, we got a call for you from Texas.
Thank you, Stephen. Who's calling from Texas?
Hi, this is Amy.
Hello, Amy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am well, Amy. Very well. Always well on a Thursday evening. So how can I help you, Amy?
Well, I have a question for you. I, too, have abilities, and so does my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really trying to mentor her. She's going through a lot. She's 14 right now. I don't have primary custody of her due to the divorce and her dad doing some shady things and getting her. And I was going through some issues of myself. But I'm looking at getting primary custody of her next year. And that's my main question is that going to work? Because I have this master plan of having it all fall into place, and I'm wondering if everything that I'm doing now is going to end in that result of me getting primary.
Okay. Right. Now, what I'm seeing here is, firstly, your ex-husband is in a very difficult state of mind, and particularly towards you. So you need to go into this with your eyes open, because he's going to be difficult. The other thing is, there must be some concern on his part about financial arrangements, I don't know whether that's his a financial settlement with you or separation of your assets or it's financial arrangements around your daughter. I'm not sure. But he has issues around finances, and that's something that's getting in the way. There's no doubt from what I'm seeing about your daughter's love for you and your love for your daughter. So, and I know that throughout the process, you will be well perceived. You'll be seen as a loving, genuine mother. Okay. And it will also be recognized that in the past, as you left this relationship, you let go of a lot materially. I mean, you definitely got the short straw materially, and that seems quite obvious in this situation as well. Now, I feel that you've got to step back and see this situation really clearly and approach it really spiritually, in the sense that you've got to take the high road. Okay? So you do still feel angry, and you do still feel some injustice. And what my guides are saying to me, and the cards are confirming, is that you need to release that as you move forward in this process. If you go forward in this process with that baggage, it's going to get in your way. It's not going to help you. So you need to release it, and you need to really take the high road. Now, the other thing is, you need to be keep your wits about you, because your ex-husband's smart, and he's likely to try and deceive you or the court or an attorney in the process. So you've got to look at that carefully. So let me very quickly, I only have a certain amount of time, but let me just ask very quickly, will you get custody? I feel like I've given you plenty of information about the fact that it's not necessarily going to be straightforward. You've got to be careful. He will try and deceive you somehow, or deceive the courts if the court's involved. Let me see, will you get custody?
I mean, I think I will. A lot of what you said is right. It's all validation. My spirit guides tell me, try to think of everything that he will use against you and make it a non-issue, because he is hurt. That's how he deceived my mom and paying for the divorce and getting her. So
yeah, what I'm seeing for you is this. In the tarot deck, the strength card is the female magician. And it's the picture of a lady who is stroking a lion. And she's reflecting the fact that she's working with a gentler form of magic, not an assertive, masculine, dominating form of magic. And I'm going to have to wrap up quickly because we've got some more callers. She's tamed the lion. She's used her femininity and her purity and her connection to spirit to take the high road and tame the lion. And the lion is tamed and responds to her. So she's strong, but she's gentle. Very important that you take that approach. If you take that approach, and if you prepare and plan well, then yes, you can win. But he's going to fight. Okay?
Yeah.
So tactics, strategy is very important. We're going to have to end on that note because we've got some more callers. But I wish you the best of luck. And listen to our discussion on the archive. Go back and listen to our discussion and reflect upon it. If you handle it the right way, you can win. Okay?
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Steve, thank you very much for that reading. I would like to send a message to all the callers who are on the line right now. We want you to hang on because we are going to get to you. You are going to get a reading, okay? When you come on the line, we ask that you kindly be very clear and direct with your question. We can only take one question from each of you so that we can try to get to everybody in the queue. So just hang tight. We're definitely going to get to you. On that note, Carmen, you have a caller from Virginia.
Hello. Hi. Caller.
Hello.
Hi there. What's your name?
Hi, my name is Stephanie.
Hello, Stephanie. How are you tonight?
I'm well. How are you?
Cool. I'm fine. Yeah, no, I'm interested, and I always love being here. So I can't remember if we've spoken before or welcome to our show. So what can I do for you tonight?
I have reconnected with a high school sweetheart, and I'd like to know if you see it being a successful relationship or if it's going anywhere.
What's his name, please?
His initial name is Anthony.
That just helps me
Parker.
Connect to you. You can even give me a fake name, just as long as I get the impression from you. So.
Well, his name is Anthony, and everybody calls him Tony.
Okay. It says here that he's sentimental attachment to you. Has tremendous losses in his life over the last few years. So it's either signaling a legal action or divorce, change of family status. Goodness, he has been through a rough time. This man is coming back to you with a real mission to resolve his past failures, and he is definitely looking at leaving behind his old ways. Yes, I'm very glad to say that, Stephanie. He knows he has a temper, but he seems to be coming in to want more chat. He wants to talk to you more. He will resolve certain issues. It seems to me that it's like, but it's stop and start. So it's like, mm-hmm. He'll speed up, and then he'll slow down, and then there'll be these pauses where he'll be demanding a lot from you, considering he doesn't give you a lot. He doesn't provide you any information. I feel All like, right. in a sense, you just have to know and remember this man. He was the man that he still is the man that you knew a few years ago. He's very strong energy. And I think he's actually matured even more, and he's even more secure.
And it's actually been longer than
Sorry.
A few. It's been over 30 years ago.
Goodness. You know, it's like that trust. You just can't rebuild that. And it actually is, even if the relationship has dissolved, still a relationship. And that's something really significant. You know, you say it's your ex. Well, it's your friend still. And so, in the sense, I think that the bond here is very deep. Now, he doesn't know what he's going to do in terms of pacing. And he is such a stubborn man. I think he feels like it's not up to you. So the main order of the day will be just to, I think that you're both extremely good with each other, being sort of countering each other and tending to maybe express your views. And I like these personalities between you two. I think you both shouldn't have to change, even if you guys are stubborn. And I'd probably think an apology or some kind of commitment, some kind of a promise will be coming. And in time, there will be a relationship or a partnership. And it says here, it will be fairly responsible. And that brings you to your next chapter. Because in a way, you want to be able to make sure that it's actually just basically step by step for you both, because right now it's looking fairly good. And if you go into that with that attitude, well, it is all about attitude. And I like to hang on to the initial feeling because I think that that's workable. He's going to withdraw a little. And I think you're supposed to be aware of that.
We're in withdrawal phase right now where I'm wondering what's going on.
Well, this is it, Stephanie. He's a very private man now. There is a man that's changed in there. He's gotten a lot of pride over in experience in the last few years. And I feel like, for the most part, you are going to look at this being a battle of the wills, probably very slow moving, but it will happen someday. And it's just the patience and the play of love, isn't it? It's a pain in the butt. And I commend you for entering in on the game, because I think it's very difficult to be involved with people, especially when they have been very successful or they've had a certain amount of experience. You know, best to you. I wouldn't give up, but I feel his energy, you know?
Okay.
So call me if you need me. I'm a Carmen, you know, on Psychic Access or any of us. But yeah, interesting story. I love those stories.
All right, I'm going to let you know if it works out. Thank you so much for your reading.
Feel free to. Okay, thank you.
Bye. Have a good evening.
You too. Bye.
Thank you very much, Carmen. And I believe I have a phone call from Florida. Hello, who am I speaking with in Florida? Hello, what's your name?
Hi, this is Lashandra.
Hi, Lashandra. How may I help you?
I was calling because I was talking to this guy, this older guy. He's like 22 years older than me. His name is Kevin. And he stopped, you know, conversating with me. And as a matter of fact, I'm like, you know, I sent him a message tonight. And the message he sent back was like very brief or whatever. And so I'm basically just trying to see, do you see him opening up to me anytime soon or...
Oh, yeah, yeah. He'll open up to you. The next time he wants something from you, he'll open up to you. But as far as, if you know, as far as thinking that you're going to have him on any kind of timetable that's convenient for yourself, I don't really have too much confidence in that. Madam, everything I'm getting about this gentleman right now is telling me that he's selfish. And I don't mean to say offensive things about someone that you care about. Please don't misunderstand this, okay? But I just want you to go into this situation with your eyes open and know what to expect out of him. And I'm not saying he is a bad guy, but I'm going to tell you now, his intentions are not sincere. You know, about the most you can extract out of him probably is going to be a fairly decent friendship. As far as a long-term romance, I wouldn't rule it out, but, you know, he's not showing enough consistent enthusiasm. So what's happening is that his desire for you is fluctuating. It's going through cold pockets where for, you know, maybe a week he's distracted by job matters or family matters or whatever it is that distracts him and you're not on his mind. And then all of a sudden he thinks about you out of the blue or he's reminded of you. And so he texts you. Now, if you take the initiative to text him, okay, while he's in one of these periods where he's distracted or not, you know, then you're going to get a very brief response back because he's not, you know, that's his way of saying you're not a priority for me right now, you know. And I hate to be, I'm definitely not trying to crush your hope or anything, but
that's okay.
You know, you can't really expect that to change significantly. So, you know, that's something that you need to know going forward. Now, you know, I do anticipate that he will change his tack pretty soon. And in fact, you're going to be pretty happy with it too, you know, but I'm not confident that it's going to last. You know what I mean? I'm pretty sure that after a couple of months or what have you, he might crawl back into his shell again and, you know, you might have a little bit of problems out of him and then he'll come back out. So it's going to be like a cycle, you know.
I just was thinking that maybe because he's like, I'm 30 and he's 52, it's like, you would think that.
Yeah, well, you know, he didn't fall off the hay truck yesterday. He jumped off, you know what I'm saying? He's not going to get all excited about, you know, feminine wiles and feminine attraction. You know, he's pretty, when you get to that age, you're pretty much in control over your emotional and physical reactions and things like that. So, you know, the good news is that he's not out there, you know, bed hopping or doing you dirty or anything like that. He's just sluggish, do you see? That's all, you know, got other things on his mind. So, you know, for right now, you're going to have to just sort of be happy, you know, with what you're going to get out of him. In the future, in the short-term future, it's going to change, okay? But it won't be a permanent change, unfortunately, okay?
Okay.
It'll probably be kind of back and forth, but there's nothing overtly terrible about this relationship, okay? You just hang in there, and you'll be good to go.
All right, thank you.
Sure, thank you. Come visit us at psychicaccess.com and have a lovely night, okay?
You too.
All right, thank you.
Hello. Illinois. Sorry, Stephen.
No, that's right. You got it.
Okay, Illinois. Hello, this is Maureen.
Hello, this is Rosie. How are you?
Fine. How are you, Rosie?
I am fine. I have a quick question because I know the time is running out. I had called in the psychic access over like a year ago, this time a year ago, and spoken to a psychic. And this person told me that I would enter into a healthy, loving, stable, long-term relationship within 6 months. Well, it's been like over 6 months, and I'm kind of like, okay, so what happened? You know, and I've been putting myself out there, and I've made myself open and everything.
Okay, so you're asking me why this happened, is what you're asking, why you may have gotten, you're feeling misinformation, or why, okay.
Yeah, I mean, because,
that's a question that, well, I could give you my insight on that, but that's not really helping you with any other something more. I mean,
right.
That
so
happens.
My question is, when will I enter into a healthy, loving,
okay, got
stable,
it.
Long-term
there,
relationship?
There we are. Okay, this is what I'm getting. I am seeing there's a 2014 looks like it's going to be a very hard-earned victory for you in relationship issues. But I'm not saying that you're going to find someone right after the first of the year so much, but I do see you going through a whole different type of this is not just a change or a little bit of a, you know, a transition. This is a big time, something where you're going to suddenly look at everything. It's everything that you thought worked for you in your life. This has to do with morals, values, and belief systems. All that stuff is going to be turned upside down, and you're going to rebuild your own foundation that's workable for you. This is a very private thing, and also it's something you can't really word or articulate. It's different for everybody else, so it's very profound. But what I see happening is, it just happens. I wouldn't wish my worst enemy on it, but it's the most enlightening thing that will come from this, because I feel that by when I'm seeing here through the course of the months after that, I see you getting, I see you getting some like a going into some type of schooling, maybe unconventional, or learning about something. Does that make sense to you?
Like no.
Okay, well, this is like, maybe this is where you might be open to meeting somebody that will be, I'm not seeing so much of a person, but I see you heading towards that direction. And it's like, I see you unconventional, like knowledge or going to some workshop, doing, there's something about, I see you as a student. And this would be maybe a whole new opportunity, because there is a big change going on in how you're building your foundation that you want to live by. And I see a really great coupling up with somebody new that you do not know, but I do feel that you may meet this person when you're doing something and I don't know how you go about being open to meeting people. I'm not sure about that. But what I am seeing, I feel that it's an environment where you're seeking knowledge to learn, not about how to find somebody or looking for somebody. It'll come through that type of way, though, or the means of that environment.
Like I'd be at a school or something like that.
A regular school. It's anything. It could be maybe a lecture you go to or a seminar, but it's not with the intent that you're going to meet
seminar,
people.
Yeah. Like an educational seminar, something like that?
Yeah, exactly. It could be, I'm not talking about being a student, but that's, and it's not going to be with the, I mean, it's unrelated to you wanting to meet somebody. It'll just happen through that way. It looks very, very mm-hmm. positive. And this is about useful sacrifice. You're going to get resurrection in this relationship situation for you, because it's going to be healthy and different and good, because things are really starting to change about how you look at how you want to live your life by. It's very positive.
You said this is happening in January.
No, I'm saying there's a hard-earned victory in January. You're up for the task of going through something very intense and rebuilding a foundation that is completely rips your world apart, but is completely positive at the same time, because you're going to attract healthier people or meet them in a different means. It's fantastic. Okay.
Oh, okay. And that's when I'll start meeting this person around after the first of the year.
Yeah, I see 2014 is going to be the year that you're going to be coupled up with somebody very special. Exactly. That's your year. Okay. Thank you, Rosie. Have a good night.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Well, thank you very much for that, Maureen. Steve, you have a caller from Florida.
Thank you. Who's calling from Florida?
Hi.
Hi. What's your name?
Allison.
Hello, Allison. What's your question?
Well, I've recently reconnected with a man that I had a relationship with for many years.
Okay.
And I'm wanting to know, if indeed we are going to reconnect and if this is going to be a long-term relationship.
First thing I would say to you is there's definitely a strong emotional bond between the two of you. It hasn't always been easy, but when you first met, you definitely had that feeling, oh, you know, there's something karmic about this. There's a there's a very strong bond. So I feel that you both felt that straight away. I'm drawn all the way back to 1986 for some reason. My guides just gave me the number 1986, so I'm not going to ask you about it, but have a think about what went on in 1986, quite some time ago.
Yes, we were involved way back then.
Yeah. Okay. You know, it wasn't a bad relationship. I don't see a dreadful relationship. And I can see that he definitely has feelings for you. I honestly feel that you need to go at this with without expectations. You know, I see the connection between the two of you.
Hello, you're breaking up.
Oh, can you not hear me well?
I couldn't hear you. No, I couldn't hear you at all. Nothing you said after you mentioned 1986.
Okay. Well, what I was saying was that you had a pretty good relationship. It wasn't a dreadful relationship by any means, and I know that he cares for you. I feel that you need to take a very relaxed, open-minded, easy breezy approach to this reconnection. I don't feel that you should rush in there and say that you want this to be a full-blown relationship for eternity again. I feel like you need to say, well, we were together, say this to yourself, we were together in the past. There were some good times, there were some challenges. That's how a relationship is. It's nice to reconnect. And I'm open to having contact and seeing where it goes, but I'm not setting any big expectations of myself or of him or of the connection. I'm just going to see. I don't feel that you
should
rush into
it. Well, my main question is, really, is we are separated by a lot of miles right now, and we haven't seen each other in person yet. So I want to know if we are going to be able to see each other.
I feel that you will see each other. And I feel that you will be friends. I feel like you really need to take time. In other words, don't rush. Don't set expectations. Enjoy the fact that you've reconnected. Enjoy the prospect of seeing each other, which you will. Don't rush. Allow a relationship to bloom. I feel if you do that, you can have a good connection with each other. Not convinced that it's going to be a new romance. But I can tell you, if you rush it, it will go wrong. So you've got to take your time and be happy to reconnect. Does that make sense?
Yes, that makes sense.
I really don't feel you need to be setting the expectations within yourself of, is this going to be a relationship again? Will we get back together? When will it happen? Will we always be together? Just deal with the facts. This is a man you spent a long time with. It's nice to reconnect. Nice to have the opportunity to heal the distance. Would be nice to see each other. See what happens. If you take that approach, I feel you can have a good friendship with him, and it could well evolve into romance. That's what the cards say. But if you rush it, it'll go wrong. That's what the cards say. Okay?
No, it's not easy not to want to rush it after all this time being separated.
Well, you need to get to know each other again. You need to show each other how you've evolved, who you are now. You need to enjoy that process and discover, and you'll know. But you don't need to, it's not healthy for you to rush back into this as a relationship, because it's too soon.
Yeah, I do understand all that. I just wanted to know if, you know, like, my emotions are so overwhelming right now that I'm just, like, wearing myself out, and I just don't know if it's worth all that, if nothing's ever going to come of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to have to go because we've got another caller, but that's not good alchemy. In other words, that's not a good way to manifest something. If you allow yourself to replay those tendencies to be anxious, you will have an anxious outcome. You've got to deal with that. And that's one of the reasons why you mustn't rush, okay?
Right, right.
I wish
okay,
you guys,
but
look,
you do
enjoy.
You do think we will physically get to see each other again?
I do, absolutely, I do, absolutely. Okay.
Do you have any feeling on time frame on that?
I don't feel it's this year. I feel it's into next year. All right.
Okay.
And I wish you lots of luck.
All right. Thank you.
Take care. Bye.
Thank you very much for that. And if anybody wants a reading with Steve, you can find him at psychicaccess.com. Okay, Carmen, we have the last call of the night for you from Virginia.
Hi there. Oh, we have another one from Virginia. How are you tonight? Calling. We're just going to wait for a second and see if she's still on the line. And they are no longer on the line. But, you know, that's okay because people, we're at the end of our hour anyway, or 2 hours, isn't it?
Yes, 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 we are. We have reached the end of our 2 hours here. It was a wonderful show. I'd like to thank all of my co-hosts tonight, and especially I would like to thank Doug, the executive producer, the inspiration, the technician, and the wizard behind the curtain who keeps us all on our toes. Also, I am definitely super excited about next week's show. I love doing the live readings, and next week's show is dedicated exclusively to free, live, call-in readings for the entire 2 hours. You will not want to miss that. Think about what you want to know, what you need clarity on this week, because your big chance to get that is next Thursday night. So without any further ado, thank you all very much, and have a great week.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Adios.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic Access, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.